Praise the Lord. Greetings to you all in the matchless name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a blessing for me to be here before you all once again. And it is, like I said earlier, it is such a blessing to me to be greeted as the associate pastor of the church. Thank you, Pastor, and the entire church for praying and blessing my ministry. I pray that it will be a fruitful ministry and a blessing to each and every one of you. This time, let us get into the word of the Lord, because we are here to hear from God's word, and we want to hear what God has been speaking to us. And so, as I was preparing for what God had to talk to His people, God brought into my mind a scripture passage that has, in fact, the Spirit of God has been speaking to us all this morning, and I know that it is in continuation with what the Spirit was speaking through Pastor in the Psalms. So I want to read Romans chapter 2, verse 25 to 29. It goes like this: "For indeed circumcision also is of value if you practice the law, but if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So if the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? And he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you, who, though having the letter of the law and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God." Let us bow our heads and close our eyes and really ask God to prepare to speak to us from the word that we read today. Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for this beautiful morning time that you have given to us. Lord, though some of us may be tired because we lost 1 hour of sleep, we thank you that, Lord, we were all able to wake up in the morning and be able to praise and glorify your glorious and majestic name. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this beautiful morning. We pray, Lord Jesus, as we have spent time just worshiping you and praising you in truth and in spirit, Lord, that you will prepare us, Father, to hear from your word. I pray, Father, that you will open up our minds, Lord Jesus, to grasp what it is that you're trying to tell us this morning. Spirit of God, be with me as I deliver your holy word. I pray, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, you will be with my lips and be with my tongue. I pray that the word, Father, that comes out will be a living word, that it will transform our lives. I pray that we will be doers of the word, not just listeners of the word. I pray that, Lord Jesus, bring about change and transformation and healing and deliverance and discipline in our life wherever it is necessary. God, we submit ourselves and surrender ourselves to your word and to the authority of the Holy Spirit. Lead us according to your will and your purpose. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning, this is a passage that I wanted to take. You know, last 2 weeks ago, when I was a guest speaker, I had taken Romans chapter 1, and we talked about the wrath of God and knowing God and how the knowledge of God is being suppressed in this world. So that was what we were talking about. And then last week, when Reggie Uncle was speaking, he talked about this revelation that is in Jesus Christ. And when he talked about this revelation that is in Jesus Christ, he actually took a portion from Romans chapter 2, and he was talking about how it was, what is the meaning of a true Jew? What is the difference between a Jew and a Canaanite? And as he was exploring that topic, as he was building on that topic, he told that Romans chapter 2 talks about what it means to be a true Jew. This morning we heard from the man of God, Pastor Sadi, and he was talking about how the loving kindness of the Lord is lasting forever. And we went through through Genesis, and we looked at how God's faithfulness has been through mankind. And we saw how through Moses, and even through the family of Aaron, and through the family of the Levites, how God's faithfulness has been continuously been a blessing. That is why we can say his loving kindness is everlasting. That is what we believe, and we thank God for what he's done today. And as we looked at that, Pastor Uncle said this morning that, you know, there is a difference between a Jew and between who we are. We are not Jews. If you look at the world, there are people who say that they are Jews. Now, they can be, now the problem, there's a little bit confusion when they call themselves Jews. We think Jewish people are Jews, but not all Jews are Jewish people. For example, Judaism is a religion. Judaism is a religion where you accept that Yahweh is God, or Hashem, the name is God. So there is this, and we know the Old Testament. They have the Torah, they have the letters, they have the prophets, they have the major prophets and the minor prophets, and they have the books on wisdom. So they have this Old Testament, which is talking about which is actually the holy books of the religion of Judaism. And the people who follow it are called Jewish people. But there is also people who are ethnically Jews. So Jews are an ethno-religious term. It is a term which not just designates a group of followers of that religion, it is also an ethnic term, meaning that if you can trace your ancestry back to Abraham through the line of the 12 tribes of Israel, just like Pastor Uncle said this morning, if you are one of the 12 tribes of Israel, you are considered a Jew. So there is an ethnic line of Jews that is coming through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we know that through the Old Testament. But then we also have this religious Judaism, which is tracing itself back to the tradition in the Old Testament, or according to the Torah and the books in the Old Testament. So when we look at this, Paul says that in chapter 2, verse 29, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God." Now, when we take this Jewish factor, the one thing that separates a Jewish person in the Old Testament was that God had given them a covenant. Now, I like the Malayalam language. The Malayalam language is very clear. When you refer to the Old Testament, what do you call it? Parayanimam, right? And when you refer to the New Testament, what do you call it? Pudyanimam. So the word for paray is old, and nimam is covenant. We call it testament, but it is covenant. Parayanimam is called old covenant. And when we come into the New Testament or the new books, we see it is the new covenant. What is this old covenant and this new covenant? So let us dig into scripture and see what is this idea of the circumcision. What does it mean for us to be circumcised? What does it mean for us to be Christians to be today and to be called accordingly? Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 17, verses 9 to 13. Genesis chapter 17, verses 9 to 13. In that, we see that God is giving Father Abraham a new covenant is being made with them. So let me read that. Genesis chapter 17, verses 9 to 13. "God said further to Abraham, 'Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generation. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. Every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in the house or who is brought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants.'" So this is where we start seeing that God has given Abraham a new covenant. Something new is beginning. It is in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament book. This is where we see that God himself is making a unilateral covenant. What is this meaning of a unilateral covenant? A covenant means it is a promise, or it's an agreement that is made between two parties. Usually there are two people involved when a covenant or party is made. For example, when you go to the bank, you are making an agreement with the bank, or you sign a contract with somebody. There's an agreement and two parties are usually involved. In this covenant, God is making a unilateral agreement in which he's saying that I am going to make a covenant with you, Abraham. And what is this covenant? It is an everlasting covenant. It is a covenant that is going to be between me and your entire family for the rest of your life. It's an everlasting covenant. But what is the sign that they have to keep? What is the contract? What is their signature that is going to keep them apart, that shows them that they're under this new covenant? And God told Abraham, the sign is circumcision. It means that you are being set apart. You're being cut apart. You are separate from the people who are around you. So God is giving the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, to Abraham, a new covenant that is saying that you are my people. So he's telling them to be separate. You are not to be like other people. You are not supposed to be like other people. You are going to be different. You are separate. You are a chosen generation. You are a chosen group of people. So God is calling Abraham as a chosen person, and his family is going to be chosen for a special covenant. Now, again, remember, in the time of Abraham, this is a new covenant. But we call this the first 39 books of the Old Testament, we call them Parenimam, or we call them the Old Testament. So then we have to understand how Paul moves from this everlasting covenant of circumcision and moves into the New Testament, how this new covenant is coming. And that's what I have to establish for us today. God's faithfulness and his loving kindness will become so much more clearer when we understand what God has accomplished for us in the New Testament. Because in the Old Testament, when God made this covenant, it was for one family. And it was through the descendants of Abraham, through the descendants of Isaac, through the descendants of Jacob, that God made a unilateral covenant and said that you will be forever my people. And so we're going into this depth and we're understanding this topic. Now let's look at Leviticus chapter 12, verse 3. So then Leviticus is a book of laws. And in this book of laws, Moses lays out. So now we see how Abraham received this covenant and continues to provide for it. But in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 2 onwards, the Lord spoke to Moses. So I'll read from verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, when a woman gives birth and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean for 7 days. As in the days of her menstruation, she shall be unclean. On the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. So God is now saying that all the children of Israel, before it was Abraham's family. Now, Abraham had many children. Abraham had Ishmael. Abraham had Isaac. But Abraham had also other children. When we read towards the end of his life, we see that he had fathered many children. But none of them carry the sign of the covenant. If you look at Isaac's life, Isaac has 2 sons. He has Esau and he has Jacob. But we see that Esau does not come under the covenant of God, but Jacob carries down the covenant. When you come into studying the sons of Jacob, all 12 of the sons of the tribes of Israel are coming under this covenant of God. And as we see them leave Egypt, as they're broken out and they come through the Exodus, and a massive Exodus is coming into this new promised land, into the land of Canaan, that is a land flowing with milk and honey, God tells Joshua, who's leading this mighty army, walking towards, they're going to cross the Jordan. Once they cross the river Jordan, they have reached into the promised land. God tells Joshua, wait. I want you to tell everyone to, circumcise themselves, to prepare themselves for what's coming ahead. Because again, it is a sign of covenant. So in Leviticus also, Moses has passed on this law that circumcision should have to every newborn male on the 8th day. Again, why? Because it is a sign of the covenant. What does it mean to keep the circumcision? It's not just one sign. With being a Jew, there are certain things that you must follow. There are certain rules that you must follow. You know, so let us look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 to 16. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 16. So let me read that. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 16. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer. So here Moses is coming right after Israel is provoking God. This morning we heard through the man of God how when Moses was on the mountain, when he was spending his first 40 days with the Lord, the people of Israelites were in the camp trying to worship a golden calf. And Aaron the high priest said that this is the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And that through that, the anger of the Lord came against the Israelites. And then Moses came down and the first set of tablets that was written with the hand of God was broken. So then God calls Moses back up so that he can write the tablets again. But this time God is saying, I am going to make a new covenant, because the covenant that existed before was a physical covenant, but what I require is a circumcision of the heart. It is a circumcision of the heart that God requires. And so early, even in the time of Moses, even in the time when the 10 tablets and the 10 commandments was coming, God put the idea that it is no longer just a circumcision of the flesh, but it is a circumcision of the heart that God requires. But what does it mean to be a Jew? A Jew means that you keep all the commandments that God has given you. You see, as children, even in Sunday school, something that we learn is the Ten Commandments. We learn about the Ten Commandments. We have them memorized. We tell our kids about the Ten Commandments. But the Jewish people did not have just Ten Commandments. They had 613 commandments to follow. If you study the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you start summing up all the different rules and regulations that God had given to the Jews so that they can be ritually pure and ritually clean, so that God's presence could be in the midst of them. It required 613 commandments. You think 10 commandments is bad? The Jewish people had it hard. Okay, 613 commandments. Everything is a regulation. Everything is a rule. Everything. But why did God give them these 613 rules? Under the Old Testament, God gave 613 commandments because God wanted to be in the midst of his people, because he wanted to be in the midst of his chosen people. And to require that, it means that you have to be ritually clean. And this external sign was a shadow of the internal circumcision of the heart. This external sign of circumcision is the shadow of an internal circumcision of the heart. Whenever we study the Old Testament, we see that the Old Testament is a shadow of what's going to be in heaven. When we study the temple, we see that it's a shadow. It is a shadow of what is going to be in heaven. So in this, God is giving them an external rule as a shadow of what needs to happen to the heart. They need a cut in their heart. And that is why God tells Moses, tell my people to circumcise their heart. Why? So that they can walk before me. But we know, as we study the Old Testament, that the Israelites failed to keep the commandments. The Israelites failed to keep not just the 613 commandments, even the 10 commandments they failed. Just as we heard during the Psalm message, that these people started following idols. They started following other gods. These people started searching after everything. They went after all the dirty, earthly, and worldly things, and they left the God who brought them out of Egypt. They didn't even follow even the basic 10 commandments. Forget the 613 commandments. So what does that mean? What about the person who kept the 613 commandments? You know, let's take Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. This is a very well passage. We have heard of it often. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. It says like this: "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." Isaiah realizes this. He is a man who tries to be ritually pure and ritually clean and keep himself following the 613 commandments. But he realizes in Isaiah chapter 6, when his eyes are opened and he sees the Lord, he says that his righteousness is nothing before God. He is ritually unclean before God. What is the purpose of God giving the Torah, the laws, and the commandments to the people of Israelites? So that God can keep them clean and they can be ritually pure and he can be in the midst of them. But they failed to keep this. They failed to keep these commandments. They failed to keep the laws. And Isaiah is right when he says, "For all are ritually impure. For all are unclean. Even our righteousness is like filthy rags before God." So who then can stand before God? It is not possible. Let's take Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Sorry, I'm taking so much passages, but I want you to see that this story of this Bible, of the circumcision of God, I want you to see it through, woven through the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. So as we turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. "Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul so that you may live." So when we look into this commandment, as we start looking into this passage, before, what did we see? When Moses came down the mountain, God told Moses to tell his people to circumcise their heart so that he can love the Lord. But the Israelites have continued to fail. They keep failing and failing and failing and failing and failing. And they're ultimately failing in 613 laws. They're not even able to keep the 10 commandments that God has given them. So then God says, "I am going to do a new thing. Behold, I am going to do a new thing. I am going to circumcise your heart because you are incapable of circumcising your own heart." So God says, "I will take it upon myself. I will make it my duty. I will make it my role that I will be able to circumcise your heart." That is why it is said there that God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants. Why? Why does circumcision of the heart, why is it so important? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul so that you may live. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Thank you, God. Because remember, last 2 weeks ago, we looked at what does eternal life mean? To know God. Eternal life is to know God. So how can we know this God? To know this God, we need to be circumcised of our heart. That is the only time we can love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. Isn't that the great commandment that Jesus said? Jesus said, the law of the prophets can be summed up in these two laws. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And the second commandment is like the first, that you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. These two laws sums up the entire Old Testament. But the reason why the Old Testament is called Paranimum or Old Covenant is because not a single human being until the time of Jesus could keep this Old Covenant. Oh my goodness. That in the entire time of the history of mankind until Jesus Christ came on the earth, not a single human being could follow the commandments that God had placed to the letter. That is why Isaiah says that our righteousness, even our 613 laws that we follow, are still filthy garments before God. It is impure and unclean before the Holy of Holies and the Holy God that we serve. So then, where is this hope for mankind? When we look at Romans chapter 1, we see the wrath of God is being revealed against all mankind. Where is the hope that we have? So let us go into what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians, the letter to Colossians, chapter 2, verse 9 onwards. And this is Paul writing to the church in Colossae. And he says, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." Who is this in him? In Jesus. In Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You see, Paul realizes that the reason why Jesus had to come on the earth, യേശു ക്രിസ്തു ഈ ലോകത്തിൽ വരാനുള്ള ഒരു കാര്യം എന്ന് പറഞ്ഞാൽ നമ്മളെ കൊണ്ടുവരാൻ, യേശുവോട് അല്ലെങ്കിൽ ദൈവത്തിനോട് ചേർത്ത് കൊണ്ടുവരാൻ, ടു ബ്രിങ് ബാക്ക് ആൻഡ് ടു റിസ്റ്റോർ ദ പ്യൂരിറ്റി, ദി അൺക്ലീൻനെസ് ദ മാൻകൈൻഡ് ഹാഡ് ലോസ്റ്റ് ബിഫോർ ഗോഡ്. So God is calling humankind to be ritually pure, to be ceremoniously holy as your heavenly Father is holy. That's what we read in Peter, that's what we read in Matthew. We read this verse that God is calling us to be holy as our Heavenly Father is holy. But we cannot be holy because even our righteousness is not good enough for God. So then Paul says that Jesus came. Jesus, being the fullness of God, came on this earth for what? So that he can circumcise our heart. Not with the circumcision that's made by human hands, which was in the Old Covenant. In the Old Testament, circumcision was done by human hand. But in the New Testament, it is God who does the circumcision. Because where man has failed, God will prevail. Where man has failed, God will prevail. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way. Let us continue reading. In verse 12, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgression, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which are hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way and having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him." So I just continued reading until verse 15. You know, but what is this saying? That Jesus Christ brought us who was dead. And this message to Colossians is not just to Jews or not just to Gentiles. Paul is saying all Jews and all Gentiles are uncircumcised in the flesh. It doesn't matter whether you're an ethnic Jew, if you have been circumcised from the eighth day onwards or anything like that. He's saying that all of us are uncircumcised in the flesh. In our heart, we have not been circumcised. That is why Jesus came on this earth to circumcise us. What is this circumcision? What is this new covenant circumcision that Jesus has accomplished? And that is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. To 13. "Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world." Verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So the blood of Christ has washed over us and has circumcised our hearts. And what is this testimony? You know, what is Paul trying to say? In Romans chapter 2, you know, what is Paul trying to say? In Romans chapter 2, verse 29. He says, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. How do we know that we are the New Testament under the new covenant of God? It is because the Spirit of God is in us. ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ആത്മ നമ്മുടെ ഉള്ളിലുണ്ടെങ്കിൽ, നമ്മുടെ ഹൃദയത്തിലുണ്ടെങ്കിൽ, നമ്മൾ പുതിയ നിയമത്തിന്റെ അടിയിലാണ്. ദൈവത്തിന്റെ പുതിയ ഉടമ്പടി, ഇറ്റ് ഇസ് ദ ന്യൂ കവനന്റ്, ദ ന്യൂ പ്രോമിസ്, ഇറ്റ് ഇസ് ദ ന്യൂ സൈൻ, ഇസ് ദ സ്പിരിറ്റ് ഓഫ് ഗോഡ് ഇൻ അവർ ഹാർട്ട്സ്. അതുകൊണ്ടാണ് പൗലോസ് എഫേസ്യ ലേഖനത്തിൽ ഒന്നാം അധ്യായത്തിൽ ഇങ്ങനെ നമ്മൾ വായിക്കുന്നു, ദ സ്പിരിറ്റ് ഓഫ് ഗോഡ് ഇസ് ദ സീൽ അപ്പോൺ അവർ ഹാർട്ട്സ്. ഇൻ എഫേഷ്യൻസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 1 വി റീഡ് ദ സ്പിരിറ്റ് ഓഫ് ഗോഡ് ഇസ് ദ സീൽ അപ്പോൺ അവർ ഹാർട്ട്സ്. ലെറ്റ്സ് ജസ്റ്റ് ടേക്ക് ദാറ്റ് വൺ പാസേജ്. ഐ വോണ്ട് ടു റാപ്പ് അപ്പ് മൈ വേർഡ്സ്, ബട്ട് എഫേഷ്യൻസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 1 വേഴ്സ് 13, ലെറ്റ്സ് ജസ്റ്റ് റീഡ് ദാറ്റ്. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, in you, him, in Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, which who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because under the old covenant, we have no part. Under the old covenant, only the ethnic Jews had an opportunity. Only under the old covenant, only the circumcised had an opportunity. But in the new covenant, it was only through the descendants of Abraham, where in the old covenant, we're able to be the children of the promise. But in the new covenant, oh God promised to bring all nations and all countries and all people of all cultures and all places together under the new covenant, and to restore them and to bring them back to a place with God. What could not be done under the old covenant, Jesus did through his blood. Hallelujah. And how do we know that we are under the new testament, that we are under the new covenant? It is because the Spirit of God is in us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Church, can we just praise God? Can we just praise God? Because under the Old Testament, we did not have an opportunity. You or me would not have an opportunity to know God. We would have no opportunity to eternal life. We would have no opportunity to get into his presence because we are unclean and unholy. But Paul says Jesus came to reconcile, to reconcile mankind towards him. Jesus came to bring back humanity, lost humanity, back to God. Why? So that Jesus and that God can live among us. We become the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have accomplished for us on the cross. On the cross of Calvary, he died. He took our sin. He took our shame. He took our punishment. He took our curse. So that we can be reconciled to God. Never one should we take for granted what God has done on the cross. That is why when Jesus comes and speaks to his disciples, he says, this is my blood in my new covenant. That is why നമ്മൾ എപ്പോഴും നമ്മൾ അപ്പം വീഞ്ഞ് നമ്മൾ മേശമേൽ ഉള്ളപ്പോൾ, when we have the holy communion before God, on the table, we say, ഇത് എന്റെ പുതിയ നിയമമാകുന്നു. This is my new covenant that I'm making with you. Why? Because in the old covenant, we could not be members of God's family. പഴയ നിയമത്തിന്റെ അടിസ്ഥാനത്തിൽ നമ്മൾ ദൈവത്തിന്റെ കുടുംബത്തിൽ ഒരു അംഗം ആകാൻ പറ്റത്തില്ലായിരുന്നു. We couldn't be a member in the old covenant. പക്ഷെ പുതിയ നിയമത്തിൽ ദൈവം സ്വന്തം പുത്രനെ തന്നു. ഹല്ലേലൂയ. നമ്മളെ ദൈവത്തിന്റെ കുടുംബം, നമ്മൾ ദൈവത്തിന്റെ മക്കളാക്കി. ഹല്ലേലൂയ. പരിശുദ്ധാത്മാവ് നമ്മുടെ ഉള്ളിൽ ഉണ്ടെങ്കിൽ, ഇഫ് ദ ഹോളി സ്പിരിറ്റ് ഇസ് ഇൻ അസ്, നമ്മുടെ ഉള്ളിൽ, നമ്മുടെ ഹൃദയത്തിൽ ഉണ്ടെങ്കിൽ, നമ്മൾ രക്ഷപ്പെട്ടവരാ. വി ആർ സേവ്ഡ്, വി ആർ സീൽഡ് ഫോർ ദ പ്രോമിസ് ഓഫ് ഗോഡ്. ലെറ്റ് അസ് വാക്ക് ബിഫോർ ഹിം, ലെറ്റ് അസ് വാക്ക് ഇൻ ദ സ്പിരിറ്റ്. ഐ വോണ്ട് ടു കണ്ടിന്യൂ ലുക്കിംഗ് അറ്റ് ദിസ് ബുക്ക് ഓഫ് റോമൻസ്, ബിക്കോസ് ദ ബുക്ക് ഓഫ് റോമൻസ് ഇസ് റിയലി ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ്. സോ ആസ് ഐ എം കണ്ടിന്യൂ, ഐ വിൽ സ്റ്റാർട്ട് ലുക്കിംഗ് ഇൻ ടു ദ ബുക്ക് ഓഫ് റോമൻസ്. വി ലുക്ക്ഡ് അറ്റ് ദ റാത്ത് ഓഫ് ഗോഡ് ബീയിങ് റിവീൽഡ്. And then when we look in chapter 2, we see that what does it mean to be a true Jew? Yadartha Yehudan Arana, Devathinte Aathmavil circumcision cheytha aalkar. That is the circumcision of the heart made by the Spirit. I'm just going to end my words here. Let us spend some time in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are such an amazing, loving God. You have done the impossible for us. Lord, the disciples asked you, How is it possible that any man can be saved? And you answered, what is impossible with man is made possible with God. You brought what no mankind could do. No mankind could keep 613 laws and be ritually pure and ritually clean before you. So, Lord, you sent your Son. You sent your Son Jesus so that we could be ritually, we could be pure and clean before you. We can enter your presence, and you have made us holy like you are holy. I pray, God, that you continue to minister to us and to speak to us. Help us to experience this newness of life and live according to the law of the Spirit, just as Paul says in the book of Romans. May God bless, may God continue to bless us and speak to us, Lord, and we surrender ourselves into your mighty hands. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. May God continue to bless you with these words, and I pray that you will continue to uphold us in your prayers. I will be upholding you as a church family, as family of God. I will be upholding you in my prayers. May God bless you all.